So, turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter 22. That's where we're going to be kind of our launching point from today. The message today is one called Temporary Restoration. Have you ever started a project at home only to realize once you get into it that it's going to be a lot more involved than you originally thought? Amen, okay? It's one of those things, if I just replace this one thing, then, that doesn't fit with the other thing, and then I got to go buy another thing, and that's why I don't do that stuff. Call somebody, right? I'll never forget one Sunday. Decided to change a faucet in the kitchen in our house. And it was a modular house. And what we didn't realize was every bit of the plumbing in the house, nothing matched up with what today's plumbing was. And the more I got into that thing, the worse it got. Sometimes when we get into situations like that, you realize this is going to be a lot more complicated than I thought. Is that not why most of us hate to paint? Anybody in here hate to paint? Now, if you hate to paint, call Benny McCray. He will come and help you out. Shameless plug. Where's Benny? There he is. He'll take care of you. But here's the thing. The reason we hate to paint is because you know that when you paint one room and then you go into another room in the house, what do you realize you need to do? Paint. And when you go in, then you look at the carpet in that room that you just painted, and what do you realize you need to do? Replace the carpet. And then you go in, and don't paint the kitchen. Whatever you do, don't paint the kitchen. Because then you got to change what? The cabinets. You know, it just never ends, does it? We've all had situations like that in our life. Well, in our passage today, we're going to meet a king who took on the task of restoring an entire kingdom. And the more he got into the task of restoration, the more work he realized that needed to be done. And you see, that's the truth for you and me today, that as we submit our lives to Christ and allow him to begin his work of restoration and transformation in us, that we quickly realize that it's going to be a lot more involved than we originally thought. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
He starts working on us and we begin to realize, and some of us, you know what some people do? Some people get frustrated and they quit. Throw their hands up and say, I'm done with this. This church thing don't work for me. And they never see the full restoration, the full transformation that can happen in their life because they give up. They don't want to put in the effort. They don't want to put in the work. They just think it ought to happen just like that. Have you ever restored anything just like that? No, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. And there is a part of this work that we have to be involved in. And we're going to talk about that in a second. The problem that King Josiah ran into is that as he sought to restore Judah, sadly his restoration work was only temporary. And for all his efforts, he never really saw his desired results become a reality. You see, in 924 BC, the United Kingdom of Israel, Solomon's kingdom, David's kingdom, the United Kingdom of Israel, was divided into the northern and southern kingdoms. Israel was known as the northern kingdom. It consisted of 10 tribes, and Judah was the southern kingdom, was comprised of only 2 tribes. It's known as the tribe of Judah, but Judah and Benjamin were kind of merged together. 20 different kings reigned in Israel from 924 BC to 722 BC. And when they were captured by then, they were captured by the Assyrians. Of those 20 kings, not a single one of them served the Lord. They were all ungodly, each one a little worse than the other. And in 722 BC, the Assyrians came in, wiped out the 10 northern tribes, took them all captive, spread them out all over the Assyrian Empire, and those tribes are known as the 10 lost tribes, and they are gone even today. And Judah had 20 kings that reigned. From Judah remained under the rule of King David's line until it fell to the Babylonian Empire in 586 BC. And just like Israel, there were 20 kings that ruled Judah. However, 7 of them were godly. Of the 7 godly kings, there were 4 who sought at one point or another in their rule to restore Judah. All but one stopped a little short of the goal.
Josiah was the only king who sought to completely restore Judah. And therefore, according to 2 Kings 23:25, he's considered to be the greatest of all the kings to rule Judah. It says in that verse, "Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." For all his efforts, though, the restoration Judah experienced was only temporary. So today, as we study the restoration that Josiah led, I pray that we're going to recognize the reasons this restoration was only temporary and be able to overcome these issues in our lives, in our relationship with Christ, so that the restoration and transformation that God is doing in our lives is a permanent transformation and not just a temporary restoration. So look with me now at 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which is the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given to the hand of the workmen who have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." Now, 2 Kings 22 is also told to us in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, and we'll go look at that in a minute. But when we think about restoring something, there are a couple thoughts that immediately come to mind. First, restoration means returning something to its former state or idea, or former state, okay, or its former purpose. In other words, when we restore something, we're not making something new. We are taking something that is either broken, needs repair, or something that has been changed, and we're changing it back to what it was. Look, God's desire is not to make something new. Jesus tells us in 2 Corinthians that we're all new creations in Christ. But what he's really doing in our fleshly bodies is restoring us to the image that he created us for in the first place. You don't get to decide what that image looks like. You don't get to decide a plan for your most wonderful spiritual life. God has already designed that plan, and what he's doing because of the effects of sin on our lives is to restore us back to the image he created us in the first place. So everybody in here, take a look. Look at yourself. Just pretend this is a mirror. Okay? Everybody hold up your hand. Work with me here. All right? And now go, "I need restoration." Yeah, I need restoration. See, some of us are like Alan Jackson. We need a full body off restoration. Some of us just need a little minor work. But we all need to be restored to the image God has created us to be. So it's not about me becoming something new. It's about returning to my former glory. That's what God designed us in his image. The second thought that comes to mind is that there is value in the item being restored. Most of the time, if you see something that's broken, it's not worth anything, what do? You kick it to the curb. We are a throwaway society now, aren't we? I mean, we throw away everything. We throw away cell phones, we throw away tablets, we throw away vehicles. We throw away everything. We don't take the time to restore anything because most of the time we don't see the value in what we're trying to restore. When you look at something and you say, "Man, I can restore that," you're seeing that there's value in its original state, and I want to work back to that original state so I can get the value out of that item. Don't you see that's what God says when he begins to work on us and our sinful lives? He looks down and he said, "Man, they are valuable. That's the most precious thing that I have. And I am going to restore it back to its original state so it's even more valuable than it is today." But most of us don't sit still long enough to let him do the work. Now, there's some reasons that you need to be restored. First of all, there's deterioration. I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, the more I realize there's deterioration. Amen? Me and this knee, we just can't get along here lately. We're walking down and all of a sudden it just does that, you know? Why? It's deteriorating. I have a degenerative issue in my knee that I found out about several years ago. And guess what? It's getting worse. Deterioration. What happens? What causes deteriorations? Well, one of the major reasons deterioration causes the need for restoration is they deteriorate with use. The more you use something, the more you wear it out. Amen? Right? Or something is neglected and it deteriorates at an alarming rate. That's what we find in our text this morning. The temple in Jerusalem had been neglected for years. King after king had placed their own idols and altars in the temple, but the temple itself had been neglected and was in need of restoration. The same was true of the spiritual situation in Judah when Josiah became king. King Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, he was one of the most evil and wicked of all the kings of Judah. He even burned his sons on an altar to Molech. He was the most evil and most wicked, and it was his actions that caused God to call down wrath on Judah. He said, "Because of the wickedness of Manasseh, I'm going to destroy this people." Okay? His reign lasted 55 years. 2 Kings 21, 1 through 18 recount all the atrocities of his reign. And during that time, the temple deteriorated and was used to worship many foreign gods. And then his son, Amon, Josiah's father, reigned only 2 years. And during his short reign, he continued right in his father's footsteps. By the time Josiah becomes king, it's been 57 years since the temple had any significant attention paid to it, and it was in need of repair. The temple was not the only thing that had deteriorated. The kingdom itself had deteriorated. I looked at some maps this past week, and if you look at the map of the kingdom of Israel, when it was Solomon's kingdom, the United Kingdom, and all the territory that he ruled, and you come back and you find where Josiah was reigning, literally, he has about 4 or 5 cities that were called Judah. The rest of it's reigned by the Assyrian Empire. Out of all the territory David had conquered and all the territory Solomon reigned, ruled, it's just down to 4 or 5 cities. It's terrible. Deteriorated. Because God began to take their rule away. He began to attack them from without and attack them from within as part of his judgment on the people. The same is true for you and me today. You see, Jesus tells us in John 15, 1 through 7, that if we abide or remain in him, we will be fruitful. But if we do not remain in him, we will deteriorate. We will turn to dust. When we become distracted by the world and we neglect our relationship with him, we will deteriorate even more quickly, will we not? Anybody ever got any experience with that? Yeah. I mean, we all do, don't we? The second part of the need for restoration is delay. You ever seen something that you knew needed to be fixed and yet you decided not to fix it? What happened? Did it get better on its own? What happened? It got worse, didn't it? It got worse. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Had an aunt. She's gone now. But she had a vehicle. The oil light came on one time. And so it came on and it came on and it wouldn't go off. So you know what she did? She got a piece of electrical tape and put over the oil light. Locked that engine up, sure as all get out, right? She couldn't understand what happened. I put tape over the light. It was telling you something's broke. When you feel that conviction in your spirit, when you feel that heaviness, that hand of God, he's saying, something is amiss. You need to fix it. And if you don't fix it, you won't be restored. And if you're not restored, you'll continue to deteriorate to a point to where you'll almost be entered into oblivion. Fix it now. That's why forgiveness, that's why confession is, Jesus tells us to do it daily. Luke 9:23, my favorite verse. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and come follow me. It's a daily walk. So let's get into it. So what are some of the requirements for restoration? The Bible tells us that King Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But if we look over at 2 Chronicles, and I want you to look there with me for just a second. 2 Chronicles 34. We get a little bit more information. It says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. We know that already. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. We know that already. And he did not turn aside from the right or to the left. That means he stayed faithful. He remained faithful. He was one who remained faithful to the Lord. He was one who spent his time abiding in God. Now, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, 8th year of his reign, he was 15 or 16 years old, depending on how they did the calendar back then. He began to seek the God of David, his father. Get that. As a 15 or 16 year old boy, the hand of God was so heavy on Josiah that he began to seek God. Now look, he didn't have any help. God had sent a couple of prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and some others. But as far as any real direction, he had not yet gotten that from God. He had to be taught by somebody. Most scholars think it was most likely his mother. But there was this desire to seek after the Lord. You know what Matthew 6:33 says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you, right? You see that put to work in Josiah's life right here, hundreds of years before Jesus ever uttered it. It says, he began to seek the God of David, his father, and in the 12th year of his reign, began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places and Asherim and the carved and the metal images. Let me tell you something. When God starts to get a hold of your heart, you cannot stay the same. I've never met anybody who genuinely met the Lord and loved the Lord who could stay the same after they met him. You? How many of us in here, you've met the Lord, you're not the same you used to be. We still got our issues, right? We're not perfect, but we're not the same people, amen? Because if you can look at your life 20 years ago when you got saved and accepted Christ, and you can't see any different, any restoration, any transformation, me and you need to make an appointment next week. I'll be back from the beach Thursday. You'll be at my office 9 o'clock Thursday morning. Me and you need to have a chat, amen? Because when God begins to work in our heart, he begins that restoration process. And guess what? Josiah was determined to be restored. The whole point of this temporary restoration of Judah came as a result of one man's pursuit of the Lord. You see, as king, Josiah had the opportunity to bring about the spiritual restoration of his nation. But it began first in the heart of the leader. Josiah was determined. Josiah's love for the Lord made him determined to see his restoration, his own personal restoration and transformation, and the restoration of the people of Judah and of Judah itself. Nothing was going to deter him from restoring the temple to its former place of importance and influence in the lives of the people. Look, if we're going to see ourselves restored spiritually, you're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to determine that, yes, I want to be restored. How many of you have ever tried to restore something? Right? Maybe you saw a wood chest or something and it's just been covered with paint and you think, man, I can restore that. You know where paint gets? Everywhere. You start stripping that paint. I hate stripping paint, don't y'all? I remember one time I tried to strip some cabinets. Oh, my gracious goodness mercy. It was an awful process. I didn't think I'd ever get finished. You know why? I wasn't as determined as Josiah was. There has to be a determination in us to be restored. And if there's ever going to be a restoration of people in our nation, in our homes, and in our churches, it's going to have to be led. It's going to have to be led. Church, it's going to take us standing up and saying, I need to be restored to see God restore our country. I don't care what Washington does. Restorations never come from a government. Restoration comes from God. And God put the church here for restoration work. Governments govern, God restores. You want to see this nation restored? It starts right here inside this room. Amen? Or oh me. Every large restoration project has to have a leader to give direction and keep things moving forward. Josiah was that leader. However, every leader has to get their direction from somewhere. And for Josiah, his direction came from the word of the Lord. When Josiah sought the Lord revealed himself to him through by the discovery of the word in the temple. I want you to look at what happens. They're in the middle of this restoration project in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah's reign. You can look at 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8. It says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had cleansed the land and the house. Notice, when he had cleansed the land and the house. He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. They came to Hilkiah the priest, gave him the money that had been brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers of the threshold, had collected. All right, and they begin the work. And it says they gave it to the workmen in the house of the Lord. And verse 12 says, and the men did the work faithfully. All right? And then if you flip over, it says in verse 14, while they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law the Lord had given through Moses. The word of the Lord had been lost in Judah for over 300 years. And for the last 57 years, nobody had even looked for it. They didn't even know what it was. Hilkiah the high priest, when he found the book of the law, he didn't even know what it was until he read it. Let me tell you something. If you want your heart restored spiritually, the only way that's going to happen is if you get into this book right here. That is the way it's restored. You don't have to know everything about this book, but you ought to know most of where everything is, at least. You ought to put some effort and time into reading the Bible for yourself. How many of y'all have ever tried to lose weight? How many of you have, you know every trick in the book to lose weight, right? You could write the book. It takes determination to do it, though, doesn't it? You got to get your mind right to do it, right? Especially when you hate to exercise like this fella does. I hate it. I don't dislike it. I hate it. My bed is so much more comfortable in the mornings, and my chair is so much more comfortable at night. Amen? But if I'm going to be restored physically, I have to get up out of that bed or get up out of that chair and go do something, right? I got to be determined, though. Right now, I'm determined to have a donut as soon as we get done. Anyway, now, but you have to have direction. For direction, Josiah didn't make up his own plan. Once the word of God was found and it was read to Josiah, I want you to look at what happens. It says, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Well, isn't that amazing? You found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. You know what, folks? We got a lot of churches and a lot of preachers. And I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying a lot of what I hear doesn't come from this book. But let me tell you something. That's not their fault. Because it's your job to check them. It's your job to check me. It's your job to check up what I'm saying. Look, I can tell you anything this book says. Anything I want it to say, I can make it say. You got to read it for yourself to see if I'm telling you the truth. Amen? That responsibility falls to you and to me both. I'm responsible to lead the sheep, but the sheep are responsibility to check what they're eating. Amen? Don't blame me for that donut. All right? Now, listen what happens. And when the king, So Hilkiah brings the word of the Lord to the king and to Shaphan. And Shaphan, the secretary, comes to the king with the book from Hilkiah. And it says in verse 18, then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. Not the book, a book. Shaphan doesn't even know what it is. And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. When Josiah heard this, he fell to his knees and cried, God, help us. He realized the word of the Lord, and it fell upon his heart, and he repented of his sins, and he said, now go and talk to the Lord on our behalf and find out what we are to do. Get me direction for where we go from here from the Lord, because we're not going in the right way. Church, you don't need somebody to tell you you're going the wrong way, just like Miss Cynthia said this morning. You don't need a sign. You've got the book. You've got the book. I'm more the traffic cop. Yo, hey. No. Look at that. They just went right through there and wrecked anyway. I deal with it all the time. People come to me and say, Mark, what should I do? So I pray about it. Share scripture with them. They leave. They don't do what I say. They crash. Call me 2 weeks later. What happened? What do you mean, what happened? Why are you asking me? You're the one that didn't follow through with God's plan for your life. Why are you asking me? Amen or oh me? Right? Ask my mama. My mama tells you don't go anywhere tonight. Don't go anywhere tonight. I have learned that if she gets that feeling that something bad's going to happen, something bad's going to happen. I get under a blanket and I stay there till she says it's okay. You know how I learned that? Because she would tell me situations where something bad was going to happen. I went and did it anyway, and something bad happened. You know why? Because I didn't listen. He gives us His word, but if we refuse to listen, if we refuse to hear, we can't be restored. It's not God's fault. It's not His fault, is it? No, not really. You have to have determination to be restored, but you have to have direction to be restored. And that direction comes from the word of the Lord. When Josiah heard the word of the Lord, he immediately tore his robes, repented of his sins, and called on the elders to join him in that worship and in that restoration. So here's my question. How you doing? How you doing this morning? You want to be restored? Let me give you some direction this morning. Dive into God's Word. And let it speak to you. And let Him begin to form and shape and work on our heart. Be determined to become who it is that God wants you to be. Let Him do that work in your heart. Because you know what the result of restoration is? Can I give you some good news this morning? You know what the result of restoration is? Deliverance. The first result of deliverance is of restoration is deliverance. You see, the result of Josiah's restoration was different for Josiah and the people of Judah. Josiah's restoration led to complete deliverance for him, but for the people of Judah, the deliverance was only temporary. Nevertheless, Josiah was determined to try. You ever been determined to try something? Everybody says, this is not going to work. But you're determined to try anyway. Even God told Josiah, this is not going to work. Listen to what Huldah, the prophet, told Josiah. So Hilkiah, the son whom the king had sent, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokath, son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and spoke to her to that effect. And she said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, and all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you into your father's, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. Josiah was fully restored because his heart was in it. The people of Israel only experienced temporary restoration because their heart wasn't in it. Their heart wasn't in it. You see, Josiah went so far as to even restore the Passover feast for the people. He restored the covenant. He was determined to try and see his people delivered. Josiah was devoted to his Lord and to the people whom he served. And so Josiah decides that I will get all the people together. And I'll read the book of the law. Surely, if I read the book of the law to the people and they hear what I heard, they will do like I did and tear their clothes and repent, and God will relent from destroying them. Look, at this point, it wasn't about Josiah. He had word that he was going to be okay. Anybody in here worry about people to say, well, I got mine. I'm not worried about the rest of them. What an awful way to live. Guess what? There's a lot of lost people in our community. You know what? Is it going to be the church that says, well, we got ours, let them deal with their own stuff? Is that what we're called to do as the people of God? No, we're to warn. We're to hold up the sign that says, stop, listen, detour. You know? That's what we're to do. Josiah was devoted to the people, even though he had heard from the Lord that said, I'm going to destroy them. He says, well, maybe, just maybe, we still got a chance. In verse 29 of 2 Chronicles 34, it says, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all the priests and the Levites and all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. Look, he didn't come up with a fancy speech. He didn't post it on Facebook. He called everybody and says, y'all got to hear this. And he simply had the word of God read before all of them. Look, I don't have some slick, perfect message that's going to make you melt in your seat and come down here and give your life to Jesus. I don't have those words. Those words are right here. They're right here. And you can read them for yourself. All I'm telling you is to go read it. That's all I'm doing. Josiah has the word of the Lord read before the people. And then it says, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. He restored his covenant relationship before all of the people to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. You know what he did? He stood before all the people and said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to love, follow, and serve the Lord every day of my life. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm going to do all I can to love, follow, and serve the Lord all the days of my life. What I want to know is, anybody interested in going with me or not? And be restored. And find restoration. And look at what it says. It says, and the inhabitants and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. The problem was, they said, oh, Josiah, we'll follow the Lord. But guess what? Josiah's heart was in it, but theirs wasn't. Isaiah 29:13. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Look, I can stand up here and tell you what to do all day long, but if it doesn't impact your heart, if you don't want it here, what I say doesn't matter. What the Sunday school book says doesn't matter. What the preacher on the radio says doesn't matter if it's not here. It will be temporary at best. How many have we ever seen come, get saved, baptized, walk out those doors, never come back? You know why? Because it was a matter of the outer person, not the inner person. They wanted some kind of quick fix. They didn't want to be restored. Because restoration takes time. Restoration takes determination if we ever want to be delivered. Restoration takes devotion. Josiah died in peace. The kingdom was restored. Temple worship was restored. And Josiah had done everything that he could do to restore the people of Judah. Jeremiah 3:10 says, yet for all her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, declares the Lord. What an awful ending to the story. Church, I want to share something with you today. In just a couple of weeks, I will have been here 4 years. And I have seen God do amazing work in my life and in the lives of this congregation. I see a lot of people who weren't here 4 years ago. We didn't have anything to do with that. God brought you here. God brought you here for a purpose. For a purpose. Maybe you're here today, God brought you here today because you know your heart's not right with Him and you need to be restored. Maybe that's why He brought you right here today. You know how you do that? Same way Josiah did. You've heard the word of the Lord. Now confess your sin to God the Father. Repent of your sin. Turn back to Him and say, God, restore me. Make me into the person that you have envisioned me to be. I've tried to be my own person for so long, I don't even know what that vision is. Give me a vision of who you've created me to be and restore me to that person. Restore my relationship with you that it might last forever, and do it with your whole heart. And God's word is faithful. He's never failed, not once, to do that work. Amen? But guess what? I don't want the restoration that I've seen happen here be temporary. Do you? I want that thing to be permanent. Don't you? Well, in church, there's some things we need to do. We need to be devoted to the Lord first, above all. We need to be determined to let Him do the work in us, even if it's painful. Even if it's painful, to carve out of us anything that He sees that would lead us away from Him. We need to be determined to allow Him to do His work, and we need to be patient and let Him do it and give Him time. If we will give ourselves to Him, years down the road, they won't say like they said of Judah, that in 586 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the land and took everybody captive. You know what they'll say? In 2014, God started something at Wolf Pond Baptist Church, and He hadn't stopped since. That's what they'll say years from now. That's what the testimony I want to be. Amen? Starts with me and you. Let us come before the Father today and be restored. Let us experience the joy of restoration. Pray with me. Father, today, every one of us in this place, myself included, is in some need of repair or restoration. Is in some need of repair or restoration, Father. Will you open us up as people today? Will you allow us to hear you speaking? Will you allow us to give ourselves to you sincerely from our heart, like King Josiah did? Turn ourselves over to you and allow you to do that work of restoration and transformation that only you can do in our lives. Will you give us a spirit of determination and devotion like we've never seen before as we allow you to do that work in us? Will you give us the patience to wait on you as you do that work? And will you give us the persistence to see it through to completion? So that on this day and in the years ahead, people will look at what you did in our lives and say, "My, look what God has done." Lord, that begins in the heart of every individual in this place today. And let it begin in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need to be restored. And I'm inviting you, if you need to experience God's restoration today, come and pray. And let's start this journey of restoration together.